Let's open our Bibles, please, brothers and sisters, to Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. Matthew chapter 8. God's word says in Matthew chapter 8, 1 through 4, when he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go your way. Show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the gathering of your people today. Thank you that from even though from different walks of life, different suburbs, different, I'm sure, difficulties this week that we are going through. Thank you, Father, for just ushering us into another day where we can worship you as a church, as a family. We praise you, dear Lord, for the opportunity to see afresh your attributes, your work, and even, Lord, to study your word. Thank you, Father, that you are a self-revealing God, and you have revealed yourself, yes, through the beauty of nature that you have created, but also specifically and specially through your word. Thank you, Father, that your word gives us a clear teaching on the doctrines that we need to understand so that, Lord, maybe for a simple way, as far as our human minds can understand, we may be able to know you. But thank you, dear Lord, that you don't leave us to know you by our own means, because the natural man cannot know the spiritual things. Thank you, you have given us the Spirit, so that, Lord, a spiritual man can discern, can understand, can appreciate the spiritual things. And thank you, dear Lord, for the Spirit as well, that he is our teacher. Every single day that we open your word, we know that the teacher we have is not just any professor in the university or any human being who may have knowledge of the scripture. No, it's the Holy Spirit, who is God himself, full of wisdom. Thank you, Father, that through his ministry in our lives, we are being sanctified from glory to glory and being made into the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, as we thank you for the privilege of being here, we remember those who may not be able to join us today. Some of our brothers and sisters are sick. Some of them are going through really tough times in their personal lives, in their families. And so I remember them today, dear Lord. I pray for your healing. I pray, O Lord, for your powerful touch upon whatever physical ailment they may have today. You know their situations. You know their fears. You know, Lord, what kind of anxieties that is lurking around the bend due to just the uncertainties of the situation with regards to our physical ailing bodies. But Father, I pray that you send an encouraging word to them today, even maybe through this time in your word. Maybe, Lord, a passage from your scriptures. I pray you strengthen them. I pray that you send healing, O Lord. The doctors and nurses who are taking care of them, I pray that you would give them wisdom so that they would know, Lord, how to help them in their situation. And for those, Lord, who are going through difficulties, maybe some turmoils, they're going through the valleys of life, as people say, I pray that you just give them discernment and wisdom, guidance, O Lord, on how to go through these difficult paths. I pray that you give them hope, the one that you give alone. And I pray, Father, that you strengthen them in their faith, that they may see they are strong when they are weak because of you. Father, we pray for Jono, for his time there in PNG. I ask for your strength and protection upon him and for the others, our brothers and sisters who are helping out in the work. I pray that you bless him as he visits churches today, as he ministers in different ways. I pray that you would continually use him in a mighty and blessed way. I pray, Lord, that he will be able to finish everything that he wants to accomplish there. And I just ask the Lord that this trip will truly be a blessing, not only to those around him, but even to him as well. Father, I would like to commit to you, Lord, the different churches whom we are fellowshipping, even those whom we are so blessed to be calling our fellowshipping churches with AFBC, our fellow brothers and sisters are gathering today. Their pastors are preaching the word from their pulpits. I pray that you bless the services that they're doing right now as you bless ours. I pray that you empower the preachers, the pastors, dear Lord. I pray that your churches will be revived, will be encouraged, and will be directed to the path of righteousness for your name's sake. I pray, Lord, that wherever you have planted us, that we will continue to shine forth the light that is really the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. So that, Lord, many will come to the saving knowledge and experience in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, dear Lord, that our country will continue to have a strong and staunch, unashamed testimony of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, O Lord, for the salvation of Australians and many of those who have called this country home. I ask, Father, that this country will see revival in our day, in our time. I pray that we will not quit, we will not stop in declaring your powerful gospel, because it is your power, O Lord, to change lives. And so we commit to you our study now in your word. We praise you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's now excuse our kids for creche. Dear parents, please sign them in as they spend time there to learn the word of God as well. Matthew chapter 8, dearly beloved. If there is a miracle chapter in the Bible, we're looking at it. Matthew chapter 8. Why? It doesn't only record one or two or three or four or five miracles. This chapter records, as far as my counting is concerned, if I'm good with not in math, it has six miracles in chapter 8 alone. A beautiful, fitting chapter to follow the Sermon on the Mount. It was fitting that the greatest sermon ever preached should immediately followed by mighty proofs that the preacher was indeed the Son of God. Those who heard the Sermon on the Mount will be obliged, of course, to confess that as none spake such words as this man, we find that in the last verses of chapter 7, they will also say none did such works aside from Jesus Christ. So here we are, dearly beloved, in Matthew chapter 8, and we find in verse number 1, Jesus Christ coming down from the mountain, where he preached the Sermon on the Mount. Verse 1 reads, when he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. One thing we see here, of course, that strikes our attention are the words great multitudes or great crowds in other translations. After Jesus Christ preached the Sermon on the Mount and he came down from the mountain, not just one or two or his disciples followed him. Great crowds followed him. It's as if they're saying, Jesus, your sermon is not enough. We want more. Wow. Three chapters of sermon. And maybe they're not even there yet at that point where they can say, Lord, that was enough. We want more. So they followed the Lord Jesus Christ. But dearly beloved, we see in verse number 2, a very specific instance here when Jesus Christ was approached by a leper. So this morning, let's see how Jesus Christ interacts with this leper. Let's see how he related to this outcast of the society. Three beautiful acts of Jesus that we can see as he ministered to this lonely, maybe depressed man. The first thing we see is that Jesus allowed the leper to come and worship him. Look at verse number 2 again. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Now, a leper, dearly beloved, is someone who is suffering from a condition called leprosy. According to the New South Wales Government Health Department, I researched a bit on what leprosy is about. It's also known as Hansen's disease. It's an infection caused by bacteria called Mycobacterium leprae. These bacteria grow very slowly so that it may take several years after infection to get symptoms of leprosy. And behind me are pictures of those who have suffered or are still suffering leprosy. Leprosy mainly affects the skin and the nerves, but it can also affect mucous membranes, the soft tissue just inside your nose, your mouth, your inner middle ear, and your other body openings. Symptoms of the skin or mucous membranes may include growth, lumps or bumps on the skin, discoloration or discolored patches, stuffy nose or frequent nosebleeds. Symptoms of the nerves may include muscle weakness or paralysis, particularly in the hands and feet. Loss of feeling or abnormal skin sensations, so that when you have leprosy and you hit yourself to something sharp and you bleed, you won't feel it. You don't feel that you were hurt or that you're bleeding because, again, your nerve endings are no longer operative. Also, there's damage to the nerves of the eye, causing blindness. Oh, dearly beloved, I would not wish this to anyone. As you can see in the pictures, people lose parts of their body because of this. It's a terrible, sad situation. Now, thankfully, during our time now, according to our health department, leprosy can be cured if it is identified and treated with antibiotic medicines. In Australia, leprosy is now rare. So don't you worry there. You might be thinking, you know, some of us, like, when we feel something, we go to Dr. Google and, like, oh no, I may have this, I may have that. Oh no, you may say that. I have leprosy. What am I doing? Okay, well, it says here in Australia, leprosy is now rare. Thank God. Is it still common in parts of tropical and subtropical Asia, Africa, Central and South America, some Pacific countries, and parts of the United States of America? But you know what, dearly beloved? In the time of Jesus, even here, Matthew chapter 8, during his earthly ministry, leprosy was a death sentence. One author says, no other disease reduces a human being for so many years to so hideous a wreck. Jewish law in the time of Jesus regarded leprosy as a grave offense. Upon diagnosis by the priest, it's the priest who declares to you that you have leprosy or not. The leper's clothes were burned. The leper's home was razed. He or she was immediately homeless, forced to live outside the community, outside the city limits. They were outcasts. They were not allowed to go into Jerusalem or other walled towns. They will just be away from people. In the synagogue, for example, where the Jews would gather for worship, for example, or for other community events, Lepers are not allowed there. But they have this small isolated chamber that is 3 meters high and 2 meters wide. That's all they were given. They were separated from the crowd. Moreover, the leper was required by law to dress like a mourner and to yell, "Unclean! Unclean!" Whenever any non-leper came near to him, he needs to shout that, so that the non-leper will be able to know and he or she will run away, almost, away from this man. Because touching a leper would automatically also make that person unclean. And we know if you're declared unclean, you also have some ramifications of that as far as social life is concerned, as far as what you can do. So non-lepers would not want anything to do with lepers. That's why they were outcasts. And there is a certain distance. If a leper is near your house, for example, of course, they cannot go into your house. Because if you go into your house will be declared unclean. And everything therein, even the poor people. But even if they just look inside your house. Can you imagine that? Just outside your window, they would just be walking and they're near your house and they look. Your house will be considered unclean. Of course, there's a certain distance with that. So it's really, really terrible to be a leper during this time. In open places, it was even illegal to greet a leper. Yesterday, we were having our walk there, a beautiful coastal walk, Guatemala. And I was told, "Jan, you can pass the Australian citizenship." Because we were all greeting the people like, "How are you doing?" Like somebody coming, "Jan, you can pass." Oh, that's Australians greet each other, right? We greet, "How are you doing?" Like, "Oh, thank you. Oh, you know, good morning." You know? But in the time of Jesus, it was illegal to even just say hi or shalom, the greeting of the Jews, to a leper. It's illegal. No one is allowed, actually, to come near to a leper within a 1.8 meter distance. You're not allowed. Now, if you're outside again, and there's a wind factor, the wind is blowing towards you. Right? It says here that when the wind is blowing towards you from a leper. Okay? For example, I'm here. And then, for example, Paul is the leper. And the wind is blowing from that direction from him. Oh, no, dearly beloved. The leper must stand at least 11.5 meters away. Yep. That's it. They even have control over the wind. Not just you Australians, you have your personal space, right? Talk about this personal space. Your wind is blowing to me. You're a leper. Go away. 11.5 meters. Worst of all, the leper was considered reprobate. A lost cause and totally abandoned by God. That's what people would think. All of these and more point to the reality of the very sad situation of the lepers. Surely, they experienced loneliness, they experienced separation, they experienced contempt, disgust, depression, hopelessness. Just imagine what kind of life you will have if you were a leper during this time. In fact, the Jewish historian Josephus tells us that lepers were treated as if they were, in effect, dead men. Once you are diagnosed, that's it. You have no life at all whatsoever. You just wait for your day to come, for your day of death. But Jesus, look at how he interacted with the leper. Verse number 2. And behold, the leper came and worshipped him. Jesus was not disgusted by the leper. He didn't snarl at him. He didn't look at him with disgust, with contempt. He wasn't worried He didn't look at him up and down and like, you know, sneered at him. No. He allowed the leper to come near him. And not only that, but also to worship him. And later on, we would even see here that Jesus put out his hand and even touched him. We know it's already illegal. In addition to that, he even talked to him. But dearly beloved, he allowed the leper to come. That word come is from the Greek word meaning to approach, to draw near, to come to. And the leper also worshipped. Proskuneo is the Greek word for that, which means to bow down, to prostrate oneself. One author said this is a physical act of lowering oneself in a humble submission with an attitude of utmost adoration or respect. Here the leper humbled himself to the lowest degree possible, touching the ground, maybe near to the feet of Jesus. This was a great act of respect for Jesus' dignity, position, and role. And Jesus allowed it. And so here we are, early on in this ministry, dearly beloved. We see that Jesus received worship. He did not rebuke the leper. He knew that the leper was doing the right thing. The leper was worshiping the Son of God. Early on in his ministry, dearly beloved. Here we find an unworthy man was privileged to worship the most worthy person. Jesus Christ. In a sense, Jesus saw worth in this unworthy man. The society at large saw this man as an outcast, a nobody, a dead man. He's supposed to be just living away, living his life, wasting his life away. But Jesus Christ saw that this man was in need. And he let him come to him and worship. What a thought, dearly beloved. What a thought. Because I'm sure for this man, this was his last recourse. This is all he's got. Where will he go? He has no family. His family abandoned him. His society abandoned him. His synagogue abandoned him. He has nobody. Maybe he was thinking, I'll try this one last thing for me to get some kind of life. And he approached the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ did not disappoint him. Oh, dearly beloved, what does Psalm 8, 4 to 5 says about the situation of men? Psalm 8, 4 to 5. Here, in Psalm 8, David asked, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. Dearly beloved, if the society casts out a person, disowns a person, disgusted over a person, you know who is still mindful of man? God. God is mindful of man. That the Son of Man, for the Son of Man that God will visit. He made us a little lower than the angel. That is not a negative thing. It may sound like a negative thing, but it's not. It's a wonderful thing. We're next level to the angels. And what does God do? He crowns us with glory and honor. Listen, sin and the world and our enemy does the opposite. If you follow sin, if you follow the world, if you follow Satan, your life will not be honorable. Your life will not be full of glory. It will be full of shame. You and I who have been there know that. It's a shameful life. There's nothing to be proud of sin, of our past. But when we get to know Jesus, life regains its honor, its glory. Life will have meaning. And I believe this is what the leper was looking for. And dearly beloved, talking about this leper situation, I believe we were on the same spot in a spiritual sense in the past. We are all unworthy sinners. Just like this leper, physically he was sick and his body is wasting away. Spiritually we were sick. We had no hope. We were outcasts. We were enemies of God. But by God's grace, through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we were privileged to come and worship and serve Him. What does the song, "My Worth Is Not in What I Own," says? It says, "Two wonders here that I confess, my worth and my unworthiness. My value fixed, my ransom paid at the cross. I rejoice in my Redeemer, greatest treasure, wellspring of my soul. I will trust in Him, no other. My soul is satisfied in Him alone." Here in the situation of the leper, Jesus saw, yes, that he was unworthy, but also Jesus saw his worth. And that's what happened to us. Jesus knew that we were unworthy, but he also knew our worth. So much so that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Who are you? Who am I that God would give his Son? We were unworthy. We are unworthy. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. In him we find our worth and an unworthiness. Oh, dearly beloved, may we never lose sight of our deep privilege in God. Even here, this specific time of this day, that he would allow us all, unworthy sinners, to come and worship and sing his praise. Don't you see the gravity of our gathering this morning? People, other people just want to go on hikes and do whatever. But you and I have been privileged to come here today to sing his praise. Who are you? What kind of training do you have in music? That when you sing, God will listen to you. Who are you? Who am I? That God would meet us here when we gather. What do you have to offer? Nothing. Because everything we have is from Him. But why would we meet us here? Why would He listen to your tunes? And maybe He would say, "Oh, you're out of tune, Pastor." Why would He listen to your prayer, to my prayer? Why? We're so unworthy. But God allows us by His grace. He allows us to come and worship Him. I hope we don't take that for granted. I hope we see the preciousness of our standing before God because of His Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. So here again, Jesus Christ allowed the leper to come near Him and worship Him. But the second precious privilege that the leper received was this. In verse number 2, the latter part there, we read that the leper said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." In other words, Jesus attended to the leper's plea. He attended to the leper's plea. What was his plea? "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Let's focus on these few words of the leper here, dearly beloved. First, let's focus on his attitude. His attitude here, you can see through his words, "Lord, if you are willing." He did not demand from Jesus. He said, "Jesus, heal me now." No. He said, "Lord, if you are willing." First, he recognized that Jesus is Lord, his master. That's the word Adonai. That means he's a servant. He's just coming with humility. He understood that Jesus had the prerogative if he will heal him or not. This is total surrender to Jesus Christ's will and only hopes for his grace and mercy. Lord, if you are willing. This attitude of humility. But also look at his words, not only his attitude, but his words. I'm sure the leper was ever so careful with his words. Because remember, they're not supposed to talk to anybody. So he knew he doesn't have the opportunity to give Jesus a paragraph. Okay? He cannot give to him an entire essay of his situation to enumerate every single pain, every single difficulty, every single worry, anxiety. No, no, no. He had this one single moment and he uttered this short sentence, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. That was it. And in Greek, it's even shorter. He knew that he's not supposed to talk to anybody. Especially to this guy who's getting famous, right? Jesus Christ. So he simply chose his words. Short, but straight to the point, Lord. If you are willing, you can make me clean, Lord. But also notice his trust. You can. You can. Not that you may, you might, possibly. No, no, no. He said, you, Jesus, can. That is trust on Jesus' power. He truly believed that Jesus can heal him. He truly believed that Jesus was the omnipotent Son of God. Because only God can heal. That's why he says, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Now, how did Jesus respond to these words? How did Jesus respond to his attitude, to his words, to his trust? Jesus gave his attention. Jesus gave his time to this individual. He focused his gaze to him. He opened his ears to him, an outcast of the society where people don't listen to them. You don't even look at these lepers. But Jesus, the Son of God, listened. He opened his ears to him. But not only his ears, but also his heart. But of course, he knew that the eyes of the people most probably were on them. He was putting himself and the bigger crowd, according to the law, at risk. By talking, interacting, and later on touching this man. But dearly beloved, here's the point that I want to drive out. The eternal ears of the Son of God were open to the plea of an unworthy sinner. Unworthy man. Remember that talking to a leper, let alone touching him, was a big no-no. He was, according to the eyes of the people, he was breaking the law of Moses. He was making himself unclean. But was he really breaking the law? Definitely not. One author says Jesus actually fulfilled the law completely. Both the intent of the law, meaning protecting the community from physical illness and spiritual infection, and its application, declaring the man, later on we'll see, to be clean or free from leprosy. In that single breathtaking gesture, says this author, Jesus Christ demonstrated also that he himself superseded the law and all possible forms of uncleanness, instantly banishing the incurable disease, and fully restoring the former leper to right standing with God and humanity alike. That's Jesus. That's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one who hears. And dearly beloved, let's not miss this lesson today. God hears you. God's everlasting ears and kind heart hears you. Psalm 66, 19 to 20 says, but certainly the psalmist says, God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. So he ended with a praise. Blessed be God who has not turned away my prayer nor his mercy from me. Even though sometimes our prayer seems like it just goes up to the ceiling. It doesn't reach the heaven. It does, dearly beloved. It does. 1 Peter 3:12 says, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. There is no office hours where you can just call 8 to 5. No. Or only Monday to Friday. On the weekends, no. The ears are closed. No. 24/7. The ears of our God are open to our prayers. Proverbs 15:29. The Lord is far from the wicked. But here's the contrast. He hears the prayer of the righteous. Psalm 34 verse 17, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears. And it doesn't stop there. It says, and delivers them out from some of their troubles. Nope. All of their troubles. Psalm 18 verse 6, in my distress, says the psalmist, in my distress, in my difficulties, in my turmoils, in my valleys, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. What happened? He heard my voice from his temple and my cry came before him even to his ears. And what precious words of Isaiah 65 verse 24. I know this is talking about the millennial reign of Christ, but I think it's very precious. It shall come to pass that before they call, before they call, before they call, before we even utter the words, Isaiah says, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. You ever wonder, does God know? Does God know my struggle? Does God know my pain? Does God know my worry, my anxiety? Does he know? Oh, sister, oh, brother. Even before you speak, he knows. He knows everything. Your heart. Your mind. And while you're speaking, says the psalmist, he's hearing. And this is amazing to me because there are thousands of Christians. Doesn't God get tired? Doesn't he get busy? Because all of us are going through a lot of things, different things. And all of us, of course, can attest that my thing is of utmost importance, right? Oh, dearly beloved, God is not a God who's having trouble with fatigue. Or with multitasking. Our God can all hear us. All at the same time. With the perfect attention and care. And still deliver every single need. At this beautiful time. That's who our God is. And so you have come today. And you're wondering. Is God listening? He is. God is never too busy to listen to you. Yes, even you, the individual, you as a person, don't ever think that you get lost in the church or in a crowd, you know, and God does not notice your pain, your personal hurt, your problems, your struggles, your cries, your needs, because, oh, it's a big crowd out here, Pastor, I'm sure, you know. No. He sees you as you. That's the beauty of our powerful and caring God. That's a struggle for a human person. You know, if you have children, If you have two or three or four. Well, they all start to cry out for you. You don't know where to begin. Like, okay, like, wait a minute. Like, you know. But God is not like that. There's no struggle in Him. He's never too busy. He's never too preoccupied. He hears you. His eyes are on you. His ears are on you. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, says Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. He attended to the leper's plea. He will attend to your plea today. Just come. With a worshipful, humble attitude, just come. And He is there to listen. But the third precious privilege of the leper is found in verse number 3. Then Jesus put out His hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Oh, those must be the most precious words in the ears of the leper. I am willing, be cleansed. Here, the third point, Jesus addressed the leper's need. Leper's greatest need, if you may. Notice the willingness of Jesus in healing the leper. He didn't give any excuses. He didn't give some time to think about it. He just did it. He responded, I am willing. Be cleansed. Now, why was He willing? Why was Jesus Christ, why would He focus on this one leper? There's a big crowd following Him. There's a publicity thing, an opportunity. Why focus on one leper? An outcast. Because He desires to make man whole. He's a compassionate God. Matthew chapter 9. This is the next chapter. At the end of that chapter, we see here that Jesus went about in verse 35, all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then He said to His disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. He's doing the work here, wasn't He? He was teaching, going about the villages, preaching and healing. These are important things, aren't they? But it seems as if that there's a but here in verse 36. Those are good things, great things, but there's a but in 36. Why was there a but in 36? Because Jesus will not just, He didn't just come to earth to do things. He came to earth to see the multitudes. He's about people. He's about people. That's why He was moved with compassion for them. Because the people were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. He's about the situations of man. He loves people. He cannot deny His character. Charles Spurgeon said, the I will of an emperor may have great power over his dominions, but the I will of Christ drives death and hell before Him, conquers disease, removes despair, and floods the world with mercy. The Lord's I will can make you perfectly whole. Jesus addressed the leper's greatest need and He healed him. He says, be cleansed. Be cleansed. This is the moment that the leper had been waiting for. Maybe for years. We don't know how long he has been a leper. But maybe for years. Maybe for decades. We don't know. But maybe for a long, long time. And this meant that the whole world, this meant the whole world, the leper. And Jesus did not disappoint him. He experienced the healing touch of Jesus. Now notice. Notice the healing of Jesus here. It was immediate. Look at the words. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. That word immediately comes from the Greek word euthios. Euthios, which means at once, or directly, or instantaneously, right there and then, that very millisecond when Jesus Christ has been cleansed, he was healed. That's the power of our God. That's the omnipotent Son of God. Lumps and bumps are gone. Abnormal growth of the skin, gone. Discolored patches, gone. Stuffy nose and bleeding, stopped. No more muscle weakness. No more paralysis, particularly in hands and feet. Skin sensations went back to normal. He can now feel his skin. Nerves were no longer damaged. They are now operating perfectly. Any body part that was missing, the nose, maybe the fingertips, maybe his toes, or maybe his ears, he felt them, and they're all back now to their position, and they're beautiful. Nothing missing part. Now he can really see. Now he can really smell. Now he can really taste. Now he can really feel and speak perfectly. Right at the very second when Jesus Christ says, "Be cleansed." That's the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, dearly beloved. Immediately. Notice also secondarily. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Leprosy was cleansed, meaning the healing was complete. Not just immediate, complete. This shows that the power of Jesus is really, really out of this world. Out of this world. And this is just simple for him. This is simple for the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't need to do any gestures or throw anything or speak a long sentence. He just said, "Be cleansed." And it was so fast, I think, the transformation of the body. You know how leprosy affects you, right? Even from the internal organs. How fast it was. At the blink of an eye, you just saw it, your hands are back. Imagine the joy of this leper. Dearly beloved, listen. This is a big blow to those who claim to do healing today. A big blow. Why? First and foremost, they're healing today. Those healing crusades, they're not immediate. No. There are instances where people would come back and they were told, just wait for a few days and that you will get better. No. That's not the kind of healing Jesus Christ did. The word of God says immediately. And also some people will come back and say, "Oh, I still have this. Oh, it's okay. It will be full in a few weeks. I think you need more faith." No, Jesus Christ, when he healed, it was complete. Right there and then, the leper was declared cleansed. Dearly beloved, that's the difference of the healing that people are claiming to do today. Now, do we believe that God still heals? Of course. Of course. But for men to claim that they have some apostolic succession and that they can heal, many people have been victimized, dearly beloved, and even furthered their injuries because of this. Propaganda. And I'm sorry, there is so much scamming involved in it. There's so much scamming for money. But they are not getting the kind of healing that Jesus did. Here's the point. Jesus' touch made a difference in the life of a hopeless person. In fact, Jesus changed the life of this man forever. Because of his healing touch. And reflecting on that, you know, we all need healing in one way or another. Don't we? Physically, emotionally, maybe your past historically, spiritually, if you're not saved this morning. My friend, you need spiritual healing, if I may use the word. But really, the word is salvation. You need salvation. You need transformation. You need to be changed. And it's only by the blood of the Lamb that you can get that. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you come to Him with humility and trust Him as your Savior and Lord, because listen, my friend, no matter how good you think you are, you're like the leper. You're sick. You're missing body parts, if you may. There's no spirituality in you. Even if you think you do, you don't. You're an outcast of the family of God. You don't belong to the family of God. It's only Jesus who is the only way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Him. So you need to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord today. You must repent of your sin. But for us believers, I know that in one way or another, we still face life with many, many things that breaks us. And we need Jesus Christ's healing. May we be just like the leper. Come. Come. And experience the healing of Jesus in your life. How does that happen specifically? When you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, He will show you how to live your life even through those valleys. He will show you the way through His Word on how a life that just like you are experiencing today. You may even describe it as hopeless, as very, very painful, that you are numb. Listen, Jesus has a healing touch for you today. Don't fail to open His Word, because this is our revelation from God. This is how He reveals Himself. And this is how He reveals how we should live our lives and receive His healing. As I conclude, dearly beloved, why did Jesus Christ tell the leper in verse number 4, "See that you tell no one"? See, but you tell no one? A wonderful miracle. Tell no one. This is kind of like, this is a disconnect. Why? Why did He tell the leper, "See that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them"? Why? This was very, very hard for the leper. He must be a thankful man. He must be a joyful man. He wants to jump and leap and tell everybody. But why was he told not to do so? Well, first and foremost, show yourself to the priest. Jesus was upholding the law. Remember, Jesus Christ came not to destroy the law. According to Leviticus chapter 14, 1 through 9, if you want to go to that passage later on, that specific passage of the scripture requires this procedure that for those who are cleansed, they need to show themselves to the priest so that the priest can declare if they're truly cleansed or not. So Jesus Christ was upholding the law. But also, number two, a possible reason, because we don't have the reason here from Matthew. We are not told why. But I've read several authors, theologians, and this is what I have gleaned. Two other reasons. First, Jesus is discouraging the notion that He is just a miracle worker. Now, He is a miracle worker, but He is not just that. He didn't just come here to do miraculous thing or even to be this Messiah that the Jews are waiting for a political Messiah. Somebody who will free them from the bondage of Rome, because, hey, this guy can do miracles. Maybe he can do miracles with our political situation. Listen, Jesus Christ was not in for the political power of publicity. He doesn't want this to be politicized. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's why He told this man, don't do it. Don't do it. Now there will be a time, of course, wherein this will be fully known, fully open. But at the moment, no, this is too early. But the third possible reason is that He told the leper to go to the priest, and this is what we see here, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Here, he was commanded to go to the priest to give a testimony to the religious leaders represented by the priest here to help them come to the faith, to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This should be a testimony to them. Now, Jesus Christ knew those religious leaders. They were self-righteous people. But he even has a heart for them as well. His eyes are on them as well. They need salvation as well. And Jesus knows that. And he tackled them even at the very early part of his ministry. Go and tell them what the Son of God did to you. Testify that Jesus Christ is who he claims to be. The Messiah that God sent. Go. Tell them. We need to destroy this notion that Jesus Christ was totally against them. That he didn't love them. No. He loved them so much that at the very first miracle, he was thinking of the self-righteous religious leaders. That they will see that salvation has come. Lastly, dearly beloved, as we conclude, I believe there's a beautiful parallelism here of Jesus. Verse 1, coming down from the mountain, they're teaching. You know, beautiful sight, listening to all of his powerful messages. But Jesus Christ doesn't stay there. He comes down and meets the people in the valley of their lives. I don't know, this morning, maybe you are in your valley. And you're wondering, Lord, when are you going to meet me in my valley? When are you going to meet me in the valley of my sickness? When are you going to meet me in the valley of my family problems? When are you going to meet me in the valley of my financial struggles? In the valley of my personal strife? In the valley of my loneliness? In the valley of my uncertain future? Brother and sister, listen. Jesus is not just a teacher. We like the pulpit. You know, he'll teach us. But he loves to meet us every single day of our lives where we are at. Humbly meet Christ now. He has a special touch for you. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this first miracle that we see in the book of Matthew. Thank you, Lord, that your ears are open. You allow us to come, even though we are unworthy. You have changed us and made us co-heirs with Jesus. Thank you for healing us from our greatest need, from sin. You made us complete. And with all our struggles, there is still grace and mercy for them, even in the valley where we are at today. Oh Father, please, help us see that you are a compassionate, kind, loving, and gracious God. Help us to humbly approach you in time of our need. Help us to see that we have no other hope but you. We have no other most caring person in our lives but you. Help us to truly believe in our hearts. You care for us. In Jesus' name, amen.